It's been a while. The roads were a little empty. Places where we used to gather went quiet. We've gone through a year that tested us. But we're starting to see the promise of a new day. For more than 100 years, there's one place where we all came together to be entertained, to escape, to go someplace new. The movies. There's nothing like that moment when the lights go down. The projector ignites. And we believe.
Da, 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 da!
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy!
Are you serious?
It's showtime.
What is up, man fam? Grab your Coronas. Grab your 10-second car. Get some Cuban Nas. Because this is all about family, boys. It's time to talk Fast X. A movie that is like 20-plus years in the making for us. One of the hallmarks of Mad About Movies. It's Dom and the gang. It's family. I'm your host, Brian Gill, joined as always by my family, my familia, if you will. Kent Garrison, Richard Barden. How's it going, fellas?
It's good, man.
It's going good. Did anybody ever pull the audio of us predicting the title would be Fast X? I feel like we did that like 9 years ago, that we were like, oh, when he gets to 10, if the title isn't an X, then we know something's wrong.
Yeah.
And it was.
I really so wish it had gone all's right in the world again. Belt, honestly.
But, yeah, fast 10-year seatbelt would have been.
They didn't even use that as the catchphrase. I know. That's pretty disappointing.
They have, I will say, called Fate of the Furious, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but they've kind of let us down the last couple. I would say
Fate was great. That was kind of perfect.
That was kind of the peak of it.
Yeah, Fate was great. But 9 and 10, I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Yeah, fasten your seatbelts.
But it's so dumb because it shouldn't be. Because it can't be FX because of FX because F9 is just F.
Yeah,
and then it goes back to fast.
Which I kind of love that. I love that though. That's on brand for this. Kind of chaotic.
And then it's just Furious for Furious 7. There's no fast involved in that at all.
Right. They were just angry, which I get. Yeah. I understand. Yeah. This is one of the, I think this probably is on the Mount Rushmore of Mad About Movies and, franchises, or whatever. I remember in the very early days of this show, 10 years ago now, Richard and I kind of selling Kent on the value of the Fast series. I think Fast 5 brought you fully on board, Kent,
Fast 6 was the first one we did on the podcast, and you guys had seen Fast and Furious and Fast 5, and we're like, trust me, these last two, you'll be in on, and I was, and man, I think Fast 5 and 6 are probably the best, so we kind of hit a peak there in the early days of the podcast with Fast Talk, but we're still going strong here. And we ain't stopping anytime soon. We're just living our lives quarter mile at a time around here. That's right. No big deal.
Only way to live.
It's the only way to live. This will be a fun one. So I've been looking forward to this quite a bit, obviously. Richard mentioned on the pod on our news episode a couple weeks ago that his anticipation for this had decreased significantly over the last couple of movies. And I have to say I'm with you. These are fun movies. It's a fun time at the movies with my bros, with my family. But it definitely feels like the last couple we've started to sort of slip, maybe kind of losing what was magic about these movies. Or at least, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff we can get into criticism-wise of like maybe why we're losing a little bit of steam, as it were, or Nas, if you will. This one made is currently about halfway to what Fast 9 made 2 years ago in a still semi-pandemic world. So I'm not sure that Universal's super thrilled with where this is going, and it kind of leaves questions of like what's going to happen for what I thought was the final installment, but maybe now there's two more coming and spinoffs and all this. So I don't know. Let's get into all of it.
What do you think about them announcing that there's going to be two more before this one even came out?
It's a bad move.
They could have kind of kept that one in the back pocket.
I love these movies, and as we talk it out, I will just say I had a lot of fun with this. I don't know that my fun is decreasing with each movie, or that maybe I'm just getting old or whatever, but there's definitely some stuff. There's something lost here, and probably in 9 as well, from where we were. The peak is like 5 through 7, I think. 5, 6, 7. I rewatched all these movies coming into this thing. 5, 6, 7, incredible. 8 has some great stuff. 9 has some great stuff. 4 has some great stuff. But I think 5, 6, and 7 is really where this whole thing like has really understands its identity, has insane action sequences that you remember, super fun, and just insane, crazy, wild stuff, and easy to get into and enjoy, and then
with just enough kind of tongue in cheek,
yeah.
Are they in on it? We don't know
for sure.
As you're watching, they've always walked that tightrope well since Fast 5.
Yeah. So I do. At one point I would have said, and I'll go to you, Kent, first for general thoughts. At one point I've said on the show, like, I think that the Fast series really understands its identity, and that other franchises could learn something from the Fast series, maybe a few things from the Fast series on that front of really knowing what it is that the fans want, of catering to fans without just fully doing lip service or fan service or whatever. Not to mention that one of the hallmarks of this franchise is that it has served underserved communities and represented underrepresented communities consistently through the course of it. And that's a huge part of its success as well. And we really, you know, we love that. And it's an incredible thing. I do think that over the last two,
he didn't like, right?
Yeah, over the last two, it has felt like some of that identity started to go away. I'm sure I talked over that. I don't even know if the listener will hear it. But,
Woke up the Furious. Yeah, that was good. I love that.
That's probably why it has only made
that's
half
why
as
it
much
hasn't
money.
Done well, you know? Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Once you go woke, you go broke.
That's just science.
It's just science. So. Kent, coming to you first, general thoughts on where the franchise is at this point, and if you want to start getting into Fast X, let's do it.
Yeah, I think we've been really spoiled the past decade, really. It goes back further than that if you want to go back to Fast and Furious in 2009 when they really kind of rebooted this thing, reset it, brought Vin back. Because these movies not only reach a super wide audience, Brian, you nailed it. I mean, these movies appeal to middle class, if not lower class, middle class people more than any franchise, probably. And that's the majority of people, by the way, in America. So you have such a wide fan base of people that go out and see these. When I go out and see these, it's every walk of life is going to the theater to see these. It's not really like the comic book bros you kind of see at the Marvel movies. It's not really like the families you see at the animated movies. It's really kind of a mix of everybody. The comic book bros, the parents that just like car movies. You know, obviously there was like young kids in our screening, Brian. Mm-hmm. So this it's held strong at like, this is PG-13 and it kind of appeals to everybody. And you can kind of buy into the 2 hours of turning your brain off, 2.5 for this one, by the way. Yeah. And so we've been really spoiled over the past decade, really, that not only do these movies reach a wide, you know, array of people, they appeal to everybody, they make a ton of money, they're hugely successful, everybody's happy. But these are also pretty good movies. There's a lot of movies out there, I don't know how many dozens a year we talk about, that make a ton of money that just aren't very good movies. And they don't really resonate on an emotional level. These have for the past decade. And so I think we're going to have to get used to maybe these movies just make money and they're just blockbusters and they're not great movies anymore. And they don't really have that emotional pull like they used to, but hey, maybe they can still be fun blockbusters. So that's where I kind of am on it. There's several ways to go about reinvigorating a franchise. One would be to like make good movies. You know, that didn't seem to be like bringing in Louis Leterrier. It's not like they're really upping the cachet of like who's behind the camera other than like once Justin Lin left, I think they're just like, all right, let's just get somebody who is willing to do this because these are such insane productions and they take so long. So he checked that box. So they didn't go the route of like, let's really try to make these great movies. They just like, okay, let's bring back cameos. Let's just play the fan service side of this thing. And that's one way to do it. That's fine. Certainly gets people reinvigorated. Got me reinvigorated for another movie. I'll tell you that. So, you know, my attitude has shifted, but I don't think my enjoyment has lessened any.
That's fair. Awesome. How about you, Arby? Where are you at with this and general thoughts on Fast X?
Yeah. You know, Fast 9 came at a weird time. You know, it was much more pandemic-y culture. It was a weird time to be at the movie theater. It wasn't as good as previous iterations. And then so I kind of thought, okay, well, maybe, like I said, you know, my interest is dwindling coming to Fast 10. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, Jason Momoa doesn't get me, like, doesn't pique me. He's perfectly good in this, by the way. But I just mean, it's not like that's like additive in a marketing sense to me. But I would say...
No, you were really in on the Apple TV blind series. Yeah. You wouldn't not stop texting me about C on Apple TV.
Apple actually sent me an email when I watched it. And they're like, hey, no. We made this only for Adrian. So don't watch this.
For our one listener that watches everything. Yeah.
So I wasn't like super hyped. You know, but the minute you're back in there and in that world and everything's revving up again, I was kind of back in. And I actually, you know, this is definitely the best Louis Leterrier movie, I would say, which is not saying a lot.
Very true. Great point.
But yeah, I thought it was kind of mid-tier. You know, and then also there is Fast Fatigue, which there was a tweet I might have sent you guys, which is hilarious. It's like, oh my God, they're making another Fast and Furious. And it's like.
Yes. Put it in perspective with Marvel people. Yes, Marvel does a lot of stuff, but Marvel has had 40 movies since 2008.
Yeah.
They started literally a decade after Fast, and Fast is just now at their 10th. So let's... Right.
Which is a different ball game they're playing, and that's fine. Sure. It's just funny that I have the fatigue on that, and it's like...
Right.
33 movies, I should say.
But right I just feel like... I feel like 8, 9, and 10 were pretty quick back-to-back-to-back to me. I don't even know if that's true.
But it felt that way. 7 was 20, let's see, it would have been
2016, 2015?
Yeah, 2016 and 2018,
Okay.
The last one was 2021 with Fast 9, and then it's basically your 2 years it's been.
Right. Yeah.
And Hobbs and Shaw kind of bridge the gap between 8 and 9.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm thinking of too. Yeah, they could maybe push these to like every 3 or 4 years and be fine, but whatever, you know, there's shareholders and things. You know, this is fun. These are great. It's a fun, for whatever dumb reason, it's a fun world. Sometimes tonally perfect with something like Fast 5 is like the best paced and walks the line of ridiculousness better than any movie. You know, Fast 5 does that so well. Fast 6 gets a little sillier, but that's kind of funny. They kind of pulled that lever. And Fast 7 is super emotional. I don't know if that was the initial plan, but, you know, the things happened and they had to do that, you know. And then Fast 8, 9, and 10 are kind of just a little more boilerplate, but this, I think, of those three might be my favorite, actually. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, 8's pretty strong, but I think this is definitely, I think, better than 9. I came in pretty like, this is going to be the worst Fast since, you know, 4 or maybe 3. Though I've come around on Tokyo Drift.
I'm kind of with you there. I'm kind of with you on it being better than 9. I don't know about 8 yet, because I love the submarine sequence in that. That's just so ridiculous. That's kind of peak. But 9 has the space. So
yeah, but the space was, you know, a bit disappointing. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know, we've talked about them going to space for years and the way they did it.
Yeah, but they went to like fake space. They went to Bezos space. They didn't really like... go all the way up there.
They're exactly saving space for, I mean, God, if we could just get Tom Cruise in this, man.
I know.
That's all it means.
I want him to be the ultimate villain at the end of all this.
You know that the role of Ares in this was written for Keanu. He turned it down. So they're trying to bring Keanu in as a antagonist villain in this series, but he's like, you know what? John Wick's fine.
Yeah, John Wick movies.
I make a ton of money in that, and I'm the star. So
those haven't hurt these, by the way. That like audience is, you know, not as wide as because it's R, whatever. But I do think that sort of type of movie, we only have room for a couple a year. And John Wick is certainly a bit on, to steal the parlance, you know, a bit on the fast corner, I would say.
Mm.
You know, that may also add to the fatigue of that. They're very different in a lot of ways, but I do think what, you know, what they're trying to do can be. So anyway, ended up being pretty, no pun, revved up during this for my initial thoughts. And then, you know, it goes, oh, but this is 2.5 hours. So that dwindles a bit as it goes. But the parts that I dug in this was nice to have that feeling again.
Okay. Kit and I saw this together, which was a good time, and got some friends together. There's not a whole lot of movies at this point where I know I'm going to go see it with a group of people, and I know the group of people that I'm probably going to go see it with, you know, and there's something fun about that as well.
Yeah.
I like this fine.
You're like, I'll buy all your tickets.
Yeah, exactly. This one's definitely behind 8 for me, and I think I'd probably put it behind 9. I think I have two big problems here, and then we can get into to most of the fun stuff. One, I definitely think that Diesel is, I think Vin is running a lot of the show here. I think that's why you get Louis Leterrier instead of somebody who might have done a better job with it.
While we're on this topic, Brian, why is it not just directed by Vin Diesel? Why?
Yeah.
At this point,
it's like the Sandler thing, like how every Sandler movie really is directed by Sandler, but
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Well, he can't spin a camera the way Louis Leterrier can. So, literally the first shot of the movie is spinning camera in a bit.
I wrote that down.
It's probably because he's in every scene. He can't
like direct a really
it
cool movie critic with my notebook. And then I did. Yeah, that's probably it too. And just the scale. But I wrote down, I had my notebook and I wrote down spinning camera first shot. And then I didn't take another note because I was immersed.
Just locked in.
Yeah.
Just locked in. Yeah. No, I think that the more control that Vin has over this, I think honestly the worse off we are. I think that this movie, this is going to be kind of a weird comp, but not just this one, really the last two. I think something that they've kind of lost is they've gotten too into the mythos of the franchise and the series and the family and all this sort of stuff. And I think that, you know, you can understand why that is in some ways, but like, I think Vin really believes that the reason that we all love these movies is because we love these characters. And I do love these characters. They're just not really, in many ways, they're not really characters. They're not acting showcases, right? Like they are vessels for the incredible action and weird
stuff.
They're
vessels for one-liners.
Yeah. And that's okay. Like I do not mean that as an insult or a knock or whatever.
No.
They're incredible at that. And I'm really happy when you see, you know, when I went back and watched all the movies this week and, you know, there's so many fun little one-liners, and they're all these characters are very well structured for who they are and what they are. It doesn't really need to get any deeper than that. And so I think that these last two movies have kind of lost a little bit of that. The other thing for me, just with this one personally, is like, I don't know that I'm going to remember any action set piece from this movie. And I think that is that's probably my biggest issue as compared to
really
the rest of these movies, at least 4 through 9. There's some cool set piece that I can remember, and if not multiple, from each of those movies. I don't know. I mean, like the bomb, I guess.
But yeah, the freaking Rocket League. And
I
the
thought
bomb
that was
kind of.
I wasn't into that the way that I normally am with these things. I thought it was kind of. It was a little, it was a little bit lame compared.
He
to
didn't Rocket League it enough. I will admit that. Like
when the thing started,
and I turned to Brian, I'm like, oh, he's gonna Rocket League this bomb around. And he only basically hits it one time.
Yes.
That was disappointing. That, like he should have been knocking it around the entire scene.
That, That's exactly my point. You said that as soon as we saw that it was that the bomb was a ball, you turned to me and were like, it's going to be like Rocket League. And then on my other side, Tobin goes, it's going to be like Rocket League. And I was like, yeah, this is going to rule. And then that kind of is not what happened. And then really the rest of the movie is, I mean, I guess if you want to talk, I mean, let's just say we're at spoilers at this point for Fast 10. Like the last sequence with the, you know, driving down the dam and stuff. It's cool. It's not going to be memorable, partly because CGI was kind of rough in this movie.
CG was rough, but Brian, that moment when he says, you didn't take my car. Like that
was awesome.
That's all worth it to me. Like, I don't care how dumb the CG, like to me, that build up to that was just like
great one-liner.
We were clapping. Great. Yes.
Yeah. It was a great one-liner. The action set pieces leave something to be desired, and that's always been one of the major hallmarks of this tank, the runway, the vault sequence, Paul Walker's whole bit in Seven where he's like jumping from car to car in the convoy. Awesome.
Do you think the vault sequence leaves something to be desired?
No. That's what I'm saying. Okay. These are like the hallmarks of this. There's nothing action movie wise that tops the vault sequence in Rio. That's the submarine in 8. All these things are great. These are really awesome sequences. This one is so much more about the Momoa versus Vin Diesel bit. And I don't know.
Maybe that's partly, Brian, because they thought this was like the last one. Maybe there's 2 more hours of this franchise and they have to close this thing down, and it's not not just going to be action. Like the next one, now that they know there's one coming after, it'll be way more focused on big action moments rather than story elements.
Yeah.
So maybe that's partly because of it, but like you and I were sitting next to each other, the freaking Universal logo comes across. Right. And once we realized it was going to be the bank heist again, I said, let's effing go. Like, I'll put this out there right now. Anyone who's not in for pulling a bank through the streets of Rio, just unsubscribe, unfollow me. Yeah. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be associated with those types of people. Yeah. So to see that again in a different, with different angles, like to pull, looked like footage from the vault, no pun intended, and brush it off and show us like a new, basically an entire new sequence of that moment. Was
not enough
freaking awesome. Though. When he starts pulling that thing down the highway and swinging it around, I was like fist pumping. I was freaking.
It's so awesome, but we've already seen it.
I know, but I want to. I don't. I'll see it again. I don't care.
No, like I was pumped when they did that. And again, I think Fast 5 is the best of the series, and that sequence is just unbelievably cool. But it's you're not if it's never if you're not gonna ma- if you're not gonna try to match that, I don't know, like it's a
how many it times in Marvel movies have they jumped back to other movies and done
I'm totally fine with I'm not arguing against the concept of the flashback. I'm just saying the only great action sequence for me in this is the one that we saw 10 years ago.
That's the disappointment. Bummer. yeah
for sure.
To Ken's point, that it might have been you, like, you know, it could be that this was originally written as like the first act and we have a bigger action piece coming, you know, in the next whatever film is, but who knows? But yeah,
Think about how the Endgame and Infinity War and all that stuff played out, you know, like it kind of felt incomplete at the time, but it'll feel complete maybe when this is all done. Yeah.
Maybe, but Infinity War is a great movie. Like, it's on its own, regardless of Endgame. True. So, I mean, we're talking about different
it's how the story's structured, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, all right, what'd you guys think of Momoa? A lot hinges on your enjoyment or lack thereof.
I liked
of Momoa. Okay.
I'm going to put it out there. Perfectly fit in fine. I'm not a huge Momoa stan. Momoa Nation. Momoa Strong. But yeah, I thought it was fine. It was a kind of out there performance. Seemed like it was written wild. He perfectly fit for me, so I had no issue with it. And it was shocking. I was like, wow, he wasn't in Fast 6. Okay. Like, shocking it took this long.
More than he anything. Does seem like somebody who would have been around at some point.
Yeah.
In this whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Called Drogo was like a decade ago.
I did not
ago,
enjoy yeah. it. Yeah. So I think that's part of my hesitation with this one, too. I was of our party, Kent and I were, it seemed like we're in the this is not working camp. And a couple of the others were really enjoying the Momoa bit, the Momoa's Joker a lot more than I did. There were a couple of really funny lines. Like, I laughed pretty hard when he just throws a bullet at, or throws his tooth at Dom and says butthole. But I just think that was pretty funny. He had a couple other funny lines, but more often than not, I think I was like, all of this is over the top. I know, but this is I feel like we've handed off too much responsibility to somebody who's not a very good actor.
I mean, Keanu could have been pretty rough in that part.
It was the part that Alan Ritchson was.
Oh,
the,
okay.
Keanu.
You're right. Sorry.
Yeah. The guy that teams up with Dante at the end. Yeah. Basically, he does the heel turn. I'll speak more on heel turns here in a bit. I have a point on that. But on the point of Momoa, yeah, I think tone it down by maybe 20%. I'm kind of in on the character, his interpretation of that. I kind of like the weird, goofy aspect of it because I think he's got some pretty good comedic time. And I place the cringe factor all on the feet or hands of Lettier there. Like, that's with fair. A good director, I think, who knows how to get that performance or edit out the parts that are cringe, maybe you get a better result. But, or, you know, for us, maybe it wins more people over. But I think, maybe we'll see less of him, and hopefully in the new one. He felt like he was in every scene.
Yeah.
God.
It was a lot of him, yeah. To be fair, it seems like it's about 50-50. The reviews and the Letterboxd comments and stuff that I've seen, it's been really love Momoa versus I can't do this. I can't stand. I lean more towards the I can't stand. It was not without merits. It was a lot. It was a lot of Momoa when that really wasn't what I'm necessarily here for. We also added Brie Larson to the family.
The reason they got Momoa is because they needed someone that was super jacked, and Bautista wasn't available. Like, that's, you know,
yeah.
The Rock said no too. See, you know, he's out.
I think Bautista would have made this a lot better. I think,
yeah, but he's above this. He's a real actor.
Yeah. He's got a dude.
He's going to do Guardians.
My Spy Part 2 or something.
My Spy 2.
Yeah.
Stuber.
Man, there's so much awesome about Bautista, and sometimes you're like, hey, bud.
Stuber 3. Stuber 3. Yeah, he's waiting out for that Stuber spinoff TV show.
Cinematic
like the Penguin.
Universe, yeah.
Yeah. Stuber.
Yeah.
I think that had a Super Bowl trailer.
I think you're probably right.
That's really funny. That'd be a great thing to go back and look at.
Who starred in Stuber opposite of Bautista? Was it? I'll give you three.
I know.
I'll give you three. Oh, you know who it is. Okay, never mind.
Kumail, right?
Kumail.
Yeah, it was Kumail. I was going to give you a choice. But.
No, I just remember seeing like big event tentpole trailers for that.
Can we get Kumail in Fast? How about that?
It's pretty jacked from Eternals. Yeah. Give it a shot.
Yeah. Love Kumail.
Okay.
He's definitely got the physique now. Good point.
Sure. We get John Cena back. I could hear his voice. Couldn't see him, but at least the voice work was great. I thought he was fun. I enjoyed
self-driving
him
car bit was series. Awesome. Yeah.
That's the best he's been in a Fast movie.
Yeah. It was a little bit rough in the night.
Yeah, underwritten early, but yeah, he was good.
Yeah. Look, the Mad Max car was pretty fun. The cannon or whatever. I enjoyed that. That was a cool bit.
I liked the fact that they let Cena be funny because I think he's a funny.
There's no
funny
point
guy.
Otherwise.
The reveal of him I thought was great. The sup, like when he popped his head in and that wasn't his truck and he had this Mustang and just convinced like, no, it's a Mustang. You know, this is a Stang, bro. Was a great bit playing the tapes. Mm-hmm. I thought that was I was always hyped for that. But while we're on the topic of Cena, let's talk some heel turns. I turned to Brian and said this. I was like, man, the heel turns are it's crazy. It is very, for those of you who don't know, that's a wrestling term for that is basically like villain or protagonist, right? Antagonist or protagonist. So heel or face would be the terms. Heel being, you know, bad guy, face being good guy. Cypher, first scene going from heel to face, you know, to seek Dom's help, right? Deckard Shaw going from heel to face when he learns his mom, Helen Mirren, is involved in this fugitive scheme somehow. Ames goes from face to heel, right? Turns his back on Dom. Pretty amazing how they can just turn people against each other, and then I don't even get to the end with that reveal. So there was like five heel turns from where the characters were when you started to where they ended in the movie. I just thought that was a really interesting thing. They just kind of make that really easy. They can have two, like Avengers versus X-Men, and they can change teams at any time in this series. It's pretty nice.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's part of the magic of like the original build of this post Fast Five universe, that it just kind of, morality is not long term and feuds are not long term. And what's important is family. I think that's what
you never turn your back on family, even when they do.
It's
one of the main things. Right. One of the most self-aware scenes, I think, like, you know, the question you had earlier, Richard, where some of the, you know, Fast 6, 7, you don't, you're like, are they in on the bit or are they winking at the camera or not?
Yeah.
I think now they fully know. We know what we're doing. We're in on the bit. Case in point, the scene.
A little too much, though.
Yeah. The case in point, though, the scene with Letty and Dom on the bed in the beginning when the house gets ambushed, when Letty pulls out the cross necklace and is like, you know what you have to do. This is 100% play with a straight face. No winking.
Yeah.
It makes it that much more funny somehow. I just like turned to Brian. I was like, I pulled out my necklace from my pocket, you know, put it on in solidarity. And it's like it is so MacGruber now that it's kind of funny, but almost like cringe level because it's not fully MacGruber.
Yeah. Yeah. It leans a little cringe now. And I don't really know what the answer to that is, because I don't know that you can continue to make these movies without acknowledging a little more of the wink and the playing to what you're doing. It would be hard to, at this point, it'd be hard to not do some of that, but I would just lean. I think if Vin came to me and asked for advice, I would say just like, you gotta, the family bit is fun when it's like 3 minutes of the movie. If you're going to continually play up like the strength of this family and all these like sort of semi-serious and serious moments that don't involve serious action or whatever, then I think you're going to continue to lose it. Like the Rita Moreno thing, and I dropped out, but my Zoom dropped out for a minute. So if you guys mentioned this, I'm sorry. The Rita Moreno thing was really funny. I enjoyed her coming in and talking about family and all that. Yeah. And all the Coronas on the table and all this kind of stuff. I enjoyed that. We could leave it there. We don't need the follow up with the semi-serious stuff with him and Letty and all this. And also, I understand why they're doing it. I totally get it. And I'm not even necessarily saying I wouldn't. Every time Mia shows up, I'm bummed out. It just, like, I want, we all want Brian O'Connor in these movies. Obviously, it can't happen for tragic reasons. Maybe we should just let her also retire into the sunset.
Well, she's Dom's sister, though. Like, it's not just O'Connor.
It just, every time, you always have to pair her with somebody. And it's fine. When it was Cena, it was fine. Cena was really great in that scene, so it was cool. But it always kind of bums me out and stresses me out a little bit. And I would be okay with them having just like, all right, we're going to continue to page Jordana Brewster, you know, we're just going to let her be in this fictional retirement with Brian and the kids and not have to keep, especially as we jam in 12 new characters every movie, you know, because inevitably too, that leads to, having the group separated, so you get Roman and Tej and Ramsey off by themselves, basically. I think that you lose a little bit of the magic of that crew as well when they're off doing their own things without everybody, without Dom, without And then, you know, Hobbs or whoever else. It's and Letty and whatnot. But so
something Brian and I noticed.
Minor complaint from me.
When Dom is like MacGruber-ing his old memories, you know, like looking through his. And it was literally just like screenshots from the Fast movies. Yeah. What was that?
That was so great.
That was the cheapest solution to that problem ever.
I know. It really is a fine line between we're laughing with the movie and I'm laughing at the movie. And I thought that this one, 9 does it too. I thought this one was the first one where I was like, I'm not sure if the ratio is coming out in its favor on this. But
how bad was that kid actor though? Yeah. What if the next one they're just like 12 years later? Just so they don't have to work with that kid anymore.
I mean, to be fair, he's not working with a lot of great actors here, so I'm not sure. It's not going to stick out too much. And I'm, of course, speaking about Helen Mirren, who's just complete hack.
Isn't this the total plan, though? Like, they're going to pass it off to young Dom's kid at the end of this and try to do a new Fast series with whoever they cast as Brian Fast 14 or whatever it is.
Could be interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys enjoy the damn sequence? Was that worth it?
That line was great, but the moment. I mean, the actual plot development in this movie was so lacking. You could probably do an edit of this movie of the actual plot stuff that, like, what you need to know going into Fast 11. It would be a 45-second video. Like, there's a few. Characters are brought back. Momoa is mad because of the bank heist. Okay, got it. Cool. And then, I mean, case in point, in terms of that, is like Ramsay's line in the movie where she says, "I know stuff now." Like, they don't even show. Right. It's just like,
right?
Okay. So yeah, they just basically all you need to know is they bring some people. Some people are back, and. Right. Guy that got his safe stolen is angry about it. That's pretty much it. That's all that happens.
Okay. Yeah,
it's 2.5 hour movie, by the way. It's not an 80 minute.
That was rough.
Yeah. We'll tough on that.
A lot of circling around. Brian's right. A lot. It felt like 85% of that was talking about family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little much on that. Not enough Han either. I think he's awesome.
I know. We already had to go a few movies without him.
I know. He might be my favorite of the characters at this point. I love him. I'd like him to be more in these movies.
Would you like a spinoff with just Han in it?
Yeah. I mean, now we can do Han and Giselle. Yeah.
Or just Han Solo.
Yeah. There we go. Maybe Ron Howard.
Hey.
Lord and Miller can do it. We can go full circle with that.
I think the Roman Tej stuff is usually really strong in these movies. Mm-hmm. It was the worst it's ever been in this, the writing.
I agree with you, and I genuinely think a big part of that is they were separated from the rest of the group at times. I think not having everybody together sort of highlights what every character
it's the Arrested Development
actor,
thing.
Yeah, totally do. Yeah, there was... Gosh, what was the line, Kent? It's really early. Oh, when he says he works Roman into ramen noodles. I was no. And that's like 10 minutes in the movie.
The
tops.
Only Rome you know is Roman noodles.
Oof,
and we're was, like, oh no.
Yeah, we're in trouble here. We're in trouble on that. But there weren't too many of those. But I'm with you. I thought that their interactions were kind of cringy this time around, more so than
the entire thing with the money. They just didn't work. It was the concept didn't work, and it went on for so long.
Yeah, I think just having them away from the group is part of the problem, and you need all these people together. And then so you have like kind of the B story with them. It just felt like they just needed something for them to do. They're off doing this thing. You have Letty in prison with Cypher. I thought that fight, it was a fun fight, but it sort of left something to be desired in terms of the story development, and it left at a place where I know that the story is not the key to this franchise, and that's one of the things that I love about it. But if you're going to try to do story the way this movie did, tried to do some story elements more than some of the rest, then I'm not sure that Lettier is the guy to have around, like, overseeing that. I think it was missing somebody to kind of keep things reined in and find reasons for things to happen, not just we'll shoot the scene and then we'll kind of make up a reason for it to be there, I guess.
Totally agree. Brian, we got to touch on the one big cameo.
Yeah, we get two,
kind of.
Yeah, we have.
Imagine there's no heaven, right?
Yeah,
talking about Pete Davidson, right?
Uh huh. Yeah, lost a whole letter grade for me there. I feel like that guy's freaking everywhere. I can't watch. There's like no commercial break that doesn't involve him right now. I need it to
900. Do it. Ad agencies have just been like, what if we did an ad with Pete Davidson and we joke about how he's in everything?
Right. Yeah.
That's the joke on every other one of those ads.
Thing. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's
brilliant.
I don't enjoy his work. It was a major power down when he shows up. I guess I'm just way in the minority. Maybe his Q rating is a lot higher overall than it is for this guy, but this guy, not a fan.
I don't know if the Q rating is high, but people in the biz just love hanging out with him, I think. So that's why he gets so much cameo work, because like he just comes and hangs out for a day. And I think people just like think he's funny. Maybe that's why. It's like, hey, while you're here, you want to shoot a scene? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm not in. I think the stock, like sell the Pete Davidson stock. ASAP.
Is that show well received? The one with Joe Pesci? If people like that?
I saw a lot of ads for it. I have no idea.
I saw a million ads, but I've not heard any talk about it.
Man, I've never been more targeted by a single piece of content
in
my life. No, not that. That's medium compared to this. Then the last 3 weeks on everything I have that about my father, De Niro movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Oh my God. I don't know what I'm putting out there that they think. I must be in every segment and you know, oh my gosh. It's
you must have daddy issues because I didn't get those ads.
It's all the Olive Garden you've eaten, dude. Like they really believe in your Italian heritage. Yeah.
So. Yeah. They can just kind of sense the nochi.
They saw those fake IDs.
How has there been no tie-in with Olive Garden and Fast at this point? You're here, your family.
Yeah.
The whole gang just dining at Olive Garden. It's great to be here with family, isn't it? Cheers. Brian and I also joked about the fact that Dom has done how many heists now and is paid off by the government how many times for doing jobs, and his barbecue is still a trash can.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, dude, get a big green egg or get a little Traeger action, you know?
Yeah.
Not that expensive.
Right. Right. You've stolen a lot of money.
Barbecuing is that important to you? Why do you have the worst solution for cooking food?
Just not hygienic at all.
Yeah. To clean it.
Everyone gets it
out with charcoal. Dude, come on. Ben, what are you doing?
That'd be a great bit of everyone just getting violently ill 2 hours after that cookout.
Have you ever cleaned that? Hygiene. No.
Same one his dad's used. He's never cleaned it.
The fire cleaned it.
Like, yeah, kind of. But
some, but
yeah. Not really.
The fire cleaned it.
I just pour some Corona on it.
It's not great, Dom. It's not great, man.
Those like bad paper plates they always have too. Yeah.
They've had to replace the toilets in their house so many times over the years.
Yeah. All right, we've got Toilet Talk and Woke of the Furious. I think this is a good pod. Woke of the Furious sounds like one of those like Christian billboards you would see in Dallas.
Kevin Sorbo,
you know?
Definitely stars in this movie. Yeah, 100%.
And directs it, dude.
You know like those Southwest Airlines ones that are like South Woke Airlines?
Dean Cain's pissed he can't get in on it. Yeah. Right. or
sounds like some sermon at Fellowship.
It does
Church
sound like a bad
something.
Sermon series. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Sermon series. Billboards for that.
Welcome to Furious.
Next 4 Sundays.
Gosh,
at Meadowcrest Village.
And you go to the service. The lights dim, and it's like it's been a long worship band. Guy doing the rap.
You know, there was another guy.
His name is Jesus Christ.
Oh, we need to do. We do need to talk about the cameos though. At the end, the reveal, yeah, the two so at the end. The two at the end. Yeah.
Okay,
Gal so actually.
Giselle's back.
Yeah,
Giselle's
that surprised back. Me. I mean, we had talked on previous episodes talking fast and past fast reviews. Like, if they don't bring her back, that would be dumb.
Yeah,
because no she's too big a star, this. And it's too easy within this series to bring people back.
Yeah,
and so. It surprised me that they did it because I didn't really leak out, I guess. I didn't know. I didn't hear anything about that. I saw the Rock thing. Maybe I didn't dig hard and it didn't come across my feed or whatever, but mm-hmm. that was a legitimate surprise when she popped out of the submarine in Antarctica. And that's a real sentence. And then, I mean, I said to you guys, the Rock feels like the well's drying up. Need a little boost. What better to boost than go back to the family, you know?
Yeah, he MacGruber'd Vin, definitely. Like, I'm freaking out. Yeah. Okay, whatever you need. Just pointed something to the room and I'll lift it for you. Just
Wayne definitely made that call. It was not the other way around. Yeah, it was not Vin calling him to say, will you do a thing? It's it's the Rock saying, how do you get me back in? And say, well, we can do a post-credit scene with you.
Right.
That works.
Which, by the way, I'm pumped about. That's the only...
Yeah, I love
this and like Jumanji, the only two things that I have any interest in the Rock in for like 10 years. I need a break from the Rock.
Otherwise. And his award-winning tequila and meat and socks.
Nah, dude,
probably.
George Clooney's got a tequila now, so that's...
Yeah, OG. Oh, he is the OG.
Yeah, I know. He's doing commercials now. I got to go that direction.
I like that they always make sure they sign the other guy, Cindy Crawford's husband. You ever notice that? It's like... his name's Randy something, but it's like a tequila from the brains of George Clooney and Randy. And I know most Randy Gerber, you know, like a lot of people are like, who's Randy Gerber? Like, yeah. He married Cindy Crawford. It's like, nice. Yeah.
Good for that.
Should
guy.
I know who he is though?
Right.
Who's one person they could add to this that would get you excited? I mean, Cruise. We said Cruz, obviously.
Damon would be cool. I saw that's rumored for the 11th as a villain.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Bale?
I feel like Bale's already cashed that chip with Thor.
Yeah. You know who? It'd be really funny if Leo finally...
What if he did?
Finally bit and came in on one of these things, and it was this one. That would be... That'd be something.
Yeah.
Arnold would be interesting.
Arnold would be interesting. He's making a little comeback right now.
Arnold would be
maybe
good.
You just fully cross it over with the Expendables, you know, like go
Sly. So,
I was a little worried that this would, we talked about it earlier, that this, because of the X, would cross over with Triple X.
Yeah.
He just transforms into Triple X, and this was just an entire Triple X origin story the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said it on previous shows, like they've said, I guess after this, that they're going to do a lady-led version of this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Carrie Russell in this series, please.
Oh, that'd be strong, yeah.
Okay, all right. Queen of us all. I like that.
Give me her and everything.
The diplomat herself.
Yeah. Or John Wick. That's fine.
Yeah. Just go full board at this point and get MacGruber in as well. Just go that way.
Not Will Forte. That's key.
Not Will Forte. Yeah. MacGruber.
Diesel.
They're pinned Johnson. Down, you know. They've got Momoa's guys are just like just mowing them down, and they're all like, this is it. And you get the music cueing and then you just hear gobble 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 gobble.
We joked about this also on text. How funny would it have been when they opened the vault if there's four people inside the vault already. One person pops their head out. It's Woody Harrelson. The next person pops their head out. Another Woody Harrelson. It's the Four Horsemen.
Dude.
And then you cross both those. How many? They get seven more movies out of this thing.
I'm not down on that idea, like, unironically. Like, I think that'd be great for Now You See Me. I think that's a great, they just kind of absorb it like a merger of companies. It's not even really that. It's like, yeah, your email's Fast and Furious now, but they're all the same characters.
Right.
I think that'd be great.
I don't know
if that's down on
has
I'm not
ever
down
been done. Like they open the safe and it's a completely like another franchise inside the safe. Like I think that would be just people might stand up and cheer or they might boo. I don't know. I would cheer.
I don't know if anyone remembers
a lot of confusion
except for
I
us.
Think.
It's been 10 years.
Oh, I mean, they made like $900 million. It's crazy.
Yeah. All in China though. Like nowhere else. It was
And us.
Oh my gosh.
That's greatness. I'm so pumped for the new one.
Now you three me.
Yeah. Someday.
The fact that they didn't call it Now You Don't, man, is just the second one is just
it's right up there with fasten your seatbelts. It is.
Yeah.
Would have been a good bit. Okay. I don't have anything else here. I don't know if you guys want to add anything. Cena's not dead for sure, right? Like we're for sure gonna get him back and the next movie, I assume.
This was always the plan.
Do.
The recycling of lines is I love too. The key moments. I do. It's like poetry. It rhymes. Okay. I love that. I love the attitude adjustment too from Cena. Right through the floor of Dom's house. You know, owes him some money for that one. But
it's a completely different character than he was in 9, and I'm for it.
It's fun. Better.
Yeah. I love the nod to his rap career with the Marky Mark thing. I thought that was that was a good bit too. Cena's like, you know, sell the Pete Davidson stock, buy the Cena stock, trade it in.
Yeah, be good. All right, well, let's grade this thing. Kit, starting with you.
This is tough because it's not a good movie, but I enjoyed it so much. You know, this is like. Maybe the first time in podcast history that I actively enjoyed a bad movie.
Yeah. The first review I saw for this thing was from Ethan, the official zookeeper of Mad About Movies. And he said, this was terrible. I loved it. I was like, okay. All right. Yeah.
Man, I forgot his character's name is J. Daniel Atlas.
I'm looking at the cast list. It's so funny. It's like Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Isla Fisher, Dave Franco. Very bottom, it says Conan O'Brien as himself. You think he knows he's in that movie? No clue. Oh, you're on the cast. You're in the cast.
50-cent check from TNT every month.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you went what, Brian?
My grade is I'm like a B minus probably to a B, somewhere on there. Like it's a C or D level movie, but I enjoyed it. So that bumps it up like a grade or two.
Okay. Right.
So I'm like B or B minus.
I think I'm a B, but 2.5 hours for a movie like this knocks it down a couple points. So that brings it to a C+. But then it's a Fast and Furious movie. Brings it back up to a B. So I'm going to go B. Complicated algorithm there.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna give it a B minus. This is like, this is right on the edge of what when I put in my Rotten Tomato score, will I put it in as fresh or rotten? So it's going in as fresh, but I'm nervous about where we're headed for the future. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in Fast 11 and possibly Fast 12. I think, and then who knows? Who knows from there? But anyway.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, before we get out of here, let's do a quick weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
Richard, what do you got for us this week, buddy?
I got a book for you. Friend of the show, Chris Saliza, has a book out called Power Players. And it's about the modern presidency's relationship with sports. It's definitely a Brian book.
Nice.
So it's just about, it goes as far back as like Roosevelt, obviously a big sportsman. Even Washington stuff, but really starting with Kennedy all the way through LBJ, Nixon, Ford, obviously with sports, you know, being a football player, Reagan, everything all the way through there, you know, whether they were all the way through Biden, in their relationship with sports, whether playing or enjoying or whatever. It's kind of this weird thread that goes throughout all presidents. And so, yeah, it's a cool little angle of a quick presidential history. And Chris is Mam Fam, so he's listened before. So, you know, we gotta support our peeps.
That's right. That's right. He's a guy. He's a friend. I like that. Okay. I've seen him tweeting about it and stuff, but I haven't read it yet. So cool. I'm going to check that out. Sounds good. Kent, what about you, my friend?
Yeah, I got a little, let's go documentary. Okay. Really short doc, an hour long, that was released in 2020 called Kubrick by Kubrick. Mm. And this French, I think he's a writer, like interviewed Kubrick towards the end of his life for an article, but basically let this filmmaker have the tape and use it as narration for this thing. So it's kind of a lot of, I don't know, unearthed Kubrick audio with him just kind of talking about his career and why he did certain things, and really interesting. So check that out. 60 minutes on Kubrick. I love Kubrick. Just, I mean, there's always something to discover with his work or with his intention or something like that. And, you know, there's not a lot of movies to sift through. He didn't make a lot, so that makes it pretty easy to go back if you know, want to discover some iconic directors of the past and you've been thinking about doing that. I think that's a really easy place to start. So Kubrick by Kubrick is the doc, though, and it gives you a good overview of that stuff. Hour long.
Very nice.
2020.
Very cool.
What it's all about.
I like it. I'll definitely check that out.
What you got on deck? Plex.
I'll check that. I'm going to recommend a TV show that had been recommended to me several times, and I'd said, no, thank you. I'm not interested because I don't like... One of my hot takes is I do not like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I don't like any of the people in it, except for Danny DeVito, obviously. Danny DeVito's great. And I don't really know why I don't like the show, but I just have moved in on that corner and stuck with it.
I've been on that
corner
too, yeah. It gives me anxiety the few times I've watched it.
Yeah. I've tried several times, and I've never really got into it. And I've kind of avoided all of their works as a result of that.
Opposite of that. I like all of them.
Okay.
So I try the show every like 5 years, and then I'm like, not for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, after watching Wrexham, I was like, I actually like Rob McElhenney. This guy's pretty good. I started watching Mythic Quest.
I've heard that's good.
Apple Plus, and I love it. It's really good. I'm just about done with the first season. I believe there's three seasons so far with this, and it's about it's like a video game company. So it's McElhenney is the creator of the game, and they've got this whole crew of folks trying to basically they made World of Warcraft. That's essentially the game that they've created and they're running. Danny Pudi's in it, Community, a few other people that you kind of recognize. F. Murray Abraham was in it. I think he just got axed for the last season for inappropriate conduct or whatever. But it's really funny. It's very well written. It's fun, but also has a whole lot of really heartfelt, sweet moments. There's like a one-off episode, I think like four or five episodes in, that's just completely has nothing to do with the game, and it's Jake Johnson and Christina Milioti, the mother from How I Met Your Mother, creating a different game like in the early or the mid 90s through their whole relationship and stuff, and it was like one of the best 30 minutes of television I've seen in a long time. Really loved it. A couple other things. They did like a pandemic episode with the Zoom thing, and a lot of, you know, that was done a lot, but this one was, I think, probably the best one that I saw of that ilk of shows and stuff. Anyway, really dig it. So everybody who's recommended it, you were right. I really enjoy it. And the third season, just pretty recently, I think, just dropped on Apple Plus. So get with that. Mythic Quest.
We'll get you guys to binge Nathan For You at some point.
I do need to do that. I've seen probably half of Nathan For You at some point. I was into it when it was first on.
Go from one to the end. It is it's pretty awesome. I champion MacGruber to people outside the podcast all the time. I'll champion Nathan For You to people inside the podcast, you know, until it happens.
Yeah.
And we can
for sure
discuss the greatness. Your favorite stuff.
It's good.
I am. Nathan's great. I'm always in on good comedy, though. So glad that Mythic Quest has your.
It's really fun. I think both of you guys would really like it. It's nice. It's smart. It's fun. McElhaney's really good at the role. Like, he's just kind of a obnoxious douchebag, but he's not irredeemable. Everybody on Always Sunny is, and yeah, it's fun. It's good. I enjoy it a lot. So. All right, dear friends.
Great episode.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks so much for being here, and thank you for listening. If you like what you heard here on the main feed, well, let me tell you, we got a whole other feed. Go to madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Sign up for that. For $5 a month, you'll get access to a throwback every single week, in addition to bonus content and episodes that we do throughout the year. You get access to our exclusive Discord, where you can talk to movie fans from all around the world pretty much all day long about any manner of topics. And at this point, there's like, I don't know, 300 plus episodes in that that VIP feed. So you can go back and get through the back catalog on throwback episodes. This week, we'll be talking about 1988's Willow, which was a fun conversation that Kent and I had. Again, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. We'll be back here on the main feed next week with a look at The Little Mermaid. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya ya. The salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.